When life gets really hard, what do we tend to do with it spiritually? I think we've all experienced something like this before, and I think it's natural that we do one of two things when things get really difficult, and that's shut down altogether or try to get it cleaned up and get our attitude right before we ever take it to God. That seems to be the method we usually go. But the scripture actually gives us another category, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, lament. Lament is bringing your honest pain to God while still holding on to Him. It's not polished, it's not cleaned up, but it's real, and it is an act of faith. We're going to look at three different Psalms this morning, 13, 22, and 88. Three different types of lament that I think some of us have experienced parts of each of these. I'll talk about each one after I read through them, then we'll have a little group exercise, and then we'll finish it up. Now, there is a decent amount of scripture, but I would like to read all of it. I think it's important that we hear it out loud. So we'll start with Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So Psalm 13, love how it starts. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? That's not subtle. It's not filtered. It's just raw honesty coming from David. David feels forgotten. He feels distant from God, and he says it. It reminds me of a sermon I listened to by John Piper a while back on praying during difficult times, and he talks about sometimes his prayer is, "Dear God, I don't get it. I don't like it." You know, he takes that struggle to him, and David is doing that a little bit here because he feels so distant. But notice the movement of this psalm. It starts with his complaint, how long, O God? Then it moves to the request, consider and answer me. But then he ends with trust. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. And here's what's important. He gets to that trust part. None of his circumstances has changed. Nothing suddenly got better. But that's where he ends up. Lament doesn't mean you lack faith. It means your faith is still speaking, even in the darkness. Lament is not the absence of faith. It's faith refusing to be silent. And we see that here in Psalm 13. Now let's look at 22. This one's pretty long, so bear with me. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he is not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the ones who could not keep him alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. So those words probably sounded familiar. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus says them on the cross. In his darkest moment, he reaches for a psalm of lament. He doesn't hide his suffering. He doesn't bypass it. He brings it before the Father. And this psalm, while full of deep anguish, eventually turns toward hope. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Now, what does that show us? It shows us that when we lament, we're not alone. Christ has already walked this path. He has entered fully into suffering and has redeemed it. Now, I kind of shot through 22 and 13. 88 is very different. So let's start there. Psalm 88. It's the one we don't usually talk about. It's kind of left out of things, and you'll see why. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. Selah. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness to Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of the forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. So not super exciting. Like I said, it's the one we don't usually talk about. There's no turn to joy in this one. There's no resolution. It just ends in darkness. So why would God include something like that in the scripture? And I think the reason is because some seasons of life feel exactly like this. Not everything resolves quickly. Not everything ties up neatly. And yet, even here, the psalmist is still speaking to God. And that's the key. Even when life doesn't resolve, God still invites you to stay. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis's book, The Problem with Pain. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. And I think part of what we're seeing here is that pain has a way of bringing things to the surface. It strips things down. It forces us to wrestle with what we really believe. And it drives us, sometimes more honestly than anything else, straight to God. And I think that's what Psalm 88 is doing. Even in the darkness, there's still this prayer. Now, as promised, group exercise. So, kind of in the groups around you, I just want you to talk about one thing. What do these psalms teach us about how we can approach God in hard seasons? You can share a personal experience, but think about that. What do they teach us about how we can approach the Lord during these times? What stands out about how honest 13, 22, and 88 are? And what do you notice about how they end? And what does this show you about God's character? So please take a few minutes. Y'all talk about how to approach God during these hard seasons. And then we'll come back together and talk a little more. All right, let's come back together and wrap this up. Thank y'all for doing that. You know, and you may have discovered during these conversations, for some of us, this thought of lament that we're studying isn't theoretical. It's something you've experienced. For me personally, I think of in 2017, my father passed away of cancer. And then almost 2 years to the date, my sister passed away of cancer in 2019. And if I'm being honest, I didn't walk through that season very cleanly. Certainly wasn't easy. And there were stretches where I felt heavy all the time. Moments where I didn't really know what to do with what I was feeling spiritually. It wasn't that I was turning away from God, but it was more like not knowing how to move towards Him during that time. And Tiffany was a huge part of helping me through that. She helped carry me in ways that I didn't know I needed to be carried at the time. But even in that support, there were still moments that just felt dark, right? I've heard someone say who lost a sibling that at any given time, they could be 50% happy and 50% sad, that there's a melancholy that lives in them forever. But what I did begin to realize over time was that the things I was feeling wasn't new. They're right there laid out for us in Scripture. And when I felt like, God, how long am I going to feel this way? You know, that was Psalm 13. And when there was deeper pain and confusion, and any of you that have been down that cancer road understands it, they beat it, it's back. They beat it, it's back. My sister battled for 7 years like that, but that deep pain and confusion you see in Psalm 22. And there were even moments that felt like Psalm 88 when it didn't resolve the way you wanted it to. And you just didn't understand why. But what changed for me wasn't that everything suddenly got better. It was realizing I didn't have to come up with the right words. God had already given them to me. So instead of pulling back, I could bring those exact feelings to Him. Not cleaned up, not fixed, just honest. This past Friday, I took my son to a concert in Tupelo of a Christian artist named Brandon Lake. And it was a pretty interesting experience. And Jack was excited. Jack, you excited? You're going to this Christian concert? And he was like, I am really excited, but I'm not raising my hands during any of the songs. Because he's a good little Presbyterian. There's a song that Lake sang called Hard Fought Hallelujah, and there's a section in it that I think is pretty cool. There's times when my hands go up freely and times that it cost. There are days when a praise comes out easy, days when it takes all the strength I've got. And that's kind of the season I was in. Not every praise was easy, and it certainly wasn't confident, and my praises weren't strong worship, but choosing, even though it was sometimes barely, even sometimes limping along, to stay turned toward God in the middle of that darkness. And that's what lament is. So let me leave you with this. Sometimes your story will sound like Psalm 13, and you'll find your way back to trust. Sometimes it'll sound like 22, and you'll see how Christ has already gone before you. And then sometimes it'll feel like 88, and it won't resolve the way you hoped. But in every one of those places, God is still listening, and He is still near. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you invite us to come to you honestly. Thank you that we don't have to hide our pain or pretend. Meet us in our struggles, in our grief, and in our questions. Teach us to trust you, even in darkness. In your name, amen.